Hey guys, you're listening to RJ and Austin's Mindset Matters, a podcast that explores the nuances of aspiring and successful entrepreneurs.
We're two real estate investors that quit our jobs by challenging the mindset society teaches in school and overcoming traditional limiting beliefs.
Join us each week as we dive into the mindset of an entrepreneur.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another podcast with RJ and Austin. This week, we're going to be talking about the law of diminishing returns, but maybe not how you think about it. So before we jump into it, I got to ask, Austin, how you been this last week?
What's going on, brother? Life is good. Everything's going well this week. I'm helping out a new client from Maryland look for a Airbnb down here in the Naples/Bonita market right now. And they already have one. They're seeing the great returns that you can get with short-term rentals in South Florida. So just helping them out, very eager. They are a cash buyer, which I love, especially with this crazy market right now. Seems the only way to get a deal, but everything's good here, man. This is the first weekend that we had some decent weather back down here. It's above 60 now, so it's about mid-70s. Peak of season in South Florida. I'm loving every minute of it. But What about you? Anything new?
Well, before we jump into what's going on with me, because I got shitload of stuff always going on, I want to touch base on your cash buyers. How did you get a hold of them? How did you guys connect?
Yeah, man. So, you know me, always loving to be creative and meet new people. So, when I moved to Naples back in, it was the day after 4th of July of 2021. So, I've been here about 7 months now, going back and forth from Naples to West Palm Beach. I looked on Meetup for local meetups around Naples and Bonita and Fort Myers. And the closest one was 45 minutes away in Fort Myers. So, I said, hey, I'm just going to make my own meetup. Made my own meetup. And had a pretty good turnout because I was the closest one around there. And this lady came, we started talking about Airbnbs and Vrbo, and she got my contact. And then she just randomly called me out of the blue a week ago and said, hey, do you want to be my agent on this next one? And of course I said, yes. And started working from there.
It's so dope. That's so dope. So if you guys listen to that story a little bit, it's all about networking. It's about taking advantage of opportunity as well. Austin saw that there was an opportunity or maybe a hole in the market. So he created his own meetup. It's similar to me, Austin. Actually, I just represented a California buyer and reached out to me because my own meetup, and we just closed on a threeplex or three unit, three flat, we call it in Chicago, down in Southside Chicago. They're moving over to Illinois February 22nd, I believe. So closed January 5th. So it's pretty amazing stuff, what you could do out of networking, what you could do if you take advantage of the opportunities out there. And that comes to marketing and branding. So we are no stranger to that. Actually, Austin met me at my own meetup. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, let's jump into it. I know you got to dip out of here soon. We like these quick hits in the morning so that you guys could listen on whatever device you're listening on. All you Gen Zers, I'm a millennial, so I don't say that anymore. But so I want to talk about the law of diminishing returns. So it might not be what you think it is, because the book definition says for each additional input, you get diminished returns if the output is the same. I'm talking about it a little bit different here. I'm talking about it in the fact of excitement. So you may listen to this podcast, you may get off the podcast and say, I'm going to be the biggest real estate person ever. You may go to a meetup, tell everybody you're the best wholesaler in the country. Then you leave that meetup and that excitement wears off. You know, one day goes by, 2 days go by, you're left to your own devices, you're not doing the habits. So then all of a sudden, you have a lack of excitement. You're no longer excited, motivated, take action. So that's what I talk about when I say law of diminishing returns. I know it happens for me. I used to be in sales. And every time I went to a sales meeting, sales kickoff, I was amped. I'm going to be the best rep there is. Oh my gosh, I'm going to sell so much stuff. A week later, I'm back down in the dumps. Sales. So goes sales. But before I ramble a little bit more, Austin, I want to hear what you think about that topic.
Yeah, man, I think this topic's really great because a lot of people, I feel like, are putting their effort and time into certain tasks where they're not returning the value that they want or they're hoping to achieve, right? So I think you need to break down how you're spending your time and figure out how much closer what you're doing is getting you to your goal. Because if you're not doing that, you're just running in a hamster wheel over and over again. And just really break down what it is that's going to help you get to your goal in the long run. So, I mean, RJ, from your perspective, I mean, what's something that you were doing in the past that wasn't yielding a great return for the amount of time and effort that you were putting into it? And how did you shift your thought process to get a better return going forward?
So I actually got a perfect story, and it touches base on a couple of things you said there, because I do want to clarify, and I will always say this, when we talk about a certain topic, there's no way we could ever talk about the individual nuances and all the outside influences, pressures, everything that goes on with it. It's just like having a conversation on Facebook. You say one thing and they're like, what about XYZ? And you're like, well, it's a Facebook post. I'm not going to write a novel here. I absolutely know about, you know, these other factors, right? I'm a victim to that. I always go down that rabbit hole and people are like, you're a clown. You're an idiot. You're telling people bad advice. And it's like, well, but there are absolutely instances and outside influences. Anyway, I'll stop talking about that. Rabbit holes. We always go down. So Austin, one of the biggest things I want to point out about what you said is when you're not seeing the return, sometimes it's not because you're doing habits that are wrong. It just takes time, right? So I just want to say that. And that's why I went down that rabbit hole. But one of the things that I've done is I built a construction company. You know, we've done a couple million in revenue over the past 3 years since I started, had zero background in construction. Pretty wild. So the one thing that I used to do is try to be in every single aspect of every single job. I was running materials, going to the dump. I was talking to clients, running new jobs, even helping the guys with labor, you know, figuring everything out. So, you know, I'm not saying that I don't do that still, because I am, but I definitely started gearing up towards scaling. And that was interviewing different people, having a lot of different people shadow me, making my subcontractors take on more of the work. You know, subcontractors, contractors, a lot of people in this point in the industry, this time that we're in right now, they're babies. They're getting coddled, and they know that they could get jobs for X amount of dollars more or X amount of work less, and everybody wants to be taken care of. And I don't blame them for that, but you know, it's really, as an owner operator, you really have to put responsibility and delegate duties on other people sometimes. So that's one of the biggest things. I mentioned sales. You know, I used to be in sales, going to sales meetings. I was super amped. And then I'd come out of the sales meeting, and then I wouldn't do any of the actions that would make me successful. They used to say, make 100 dials a day. I'd come out of the meeting, I'd be like, I'm make 200 dials a day. And then 3 days later, I'm making 20 dials. It's absolutely ridiculous. So a lot of your actions do definitely warrant whatever your success is going to be in the future. But be patient. Because, you know, as Austin said, sometimes you'll feel down. It's it's not moving you towards your goal. But, you know, the end goal, you know, the end is in sight. You just got to keep going with those different activities.
Yeah. Yeah. RJ, that's really great, man. There's a few things I want to touch on first. So the first thing is that I heard a quote one time, and it's actually on my whiteboard right here. And it says, the reason people fail is because they aren't disciplined enough to be consistent. If you're consistent in what you're doing, you're going to learn, you're going to grow, and then eventually you're going to get to exactly where you want to be in your goal, but you can't give up, because if you give up, you're never going to get there, right? You can't fail if you never quit, right? The only time that you fail is when you stop, you give up, and then you move on to something else, right? Okay, going back to what you were talking about being a contractor, for our listeners that don't understand or don't know what a subcontractor is, can you go ahead and explain the difference between a subcontractor and an actual contractor and what they are?
Sure, absolutely. So I'm with the EJC Partners. I'm always going to be wearing this shirt. EJC Partners is the name of my general contracting business. As a general contractor, you're sort of leading the orchestra. I don't know if I said that. Anyway, so your employees don't always do 100% of the work. So what you do is you go out and you find other contractors that have a specialized trade, carpentry, any of the MEPs, mechanicals, electrical, plumbing, HVAC, all that stuff. And what you do is you hire those guys, you contract them out. So they're subcontracted to do the work on your job. 100% guarantee all these large GCs out there, contractors, people putting up skyscrapers, they all use subcontractors. Because if you think that a Walsh or a McHugh or somebody is out there with 1,000 employees on one job and they could manage all the individualized skill sets, you are wrong. There are subcontractors for every single job. I use about 3 subcontractors for even a simple kitchen remodel, because you're talking about demo guys, you're talking about electric guys. Sometimes there's plumbing, right? That's already 3. And then you got your finishers, and maybe you got to bring in a carpenter. So that's 5, and that could even be for a small kitchen. The one rabbit hole that I just want to go down, because I'm a contractor, is if you are a new investor, don't think everything's easy. And just because a job takes 2 minutes, 5 minutes for somebody like us to do, doesn't mean that it wouldn't take you hours or you wouldn't mess it up doing it and have to call us anyway. That could also lead to law of diminishing returns, right? You're trying to negotiate a contract smaller than what it's actually worth, or you try to do part of the work. And so you're putting in more input, but in the end, the output's either the same, or you have to put in more money to get it done because you messed up or the timelines get lengthened. I'm actually on the kitchen right now. The homeowner wanted to do his own drywall. And we're like, sure. We don't typically do that, but he was, you know, pressing it. And so he did his drywall, and now he's pressing us to get back on the job. It's like, hey, buddy, if you would have let us do the job point A to Z, start to finish, your job would have been done. But instead, you want to come in here, you want to do the drywall, then you want to call us back out. Sorry, bud, I'm on 7 different jobs right now. Like, and I tell all my clients, yo, I'm going to do your job start to finish. And that's why we built up such a great reputation. But it's like, then homeowners want to come and do this, and then they complain about the contractor. Oh, it's your fault. Well, in fact, it's not my fault, because we warned you about XYZ. We told you it would take this much more investment. We warned you not to take on any portion yourself. Now it's our fault. Yeah. A lot of times it's lack of communication. Sorry. So
yeah, no, you're good. It's just figure out where your time is best spent, right? If you haven't ever done construction or drywall in an RJ situation, Don't do drywall. I mean, if you're not 100% confident that you can get through it through like a YouTube video, just pay your handyman, pay your contractor, and get that out of the way, because you can be using your time to find another deal, look for another job, spend time with your family, and have a better return in that aspect. Yeah. So, yeah.
That reminds me of a story, actually. So John Kasman, he's a partner in the Chicago Multifamily Club. He has over 100 million assets under management, over 1,000 doors, for you guys that don't know him. He's my partner and co-host when we do the Chicago Multifamily Club. The first day we met, Nikki and I, you know, we had no financial basis. We had just bought our first owner occupy. And John was like, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, we're doing tuck pointing." He's like, "You're physically doing tuck pointing?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm physically doing tuck pointing." And he's like, "You know, you got to hire somebody else out to do that." And not being humble, I snapped back and I was like, "John, that's a $5,000 job. Who's going to do that? You know, who's going to pay for that? I can't pay for that," which was true. So the story behind this, the point I want to get behind this is twofold. You guys are absolutely right. You got to figure out where your energy is best spent, right? But there are also times where you got to get in the weeds. You got to get your hands dirty, roll up your sleeves, and get that shit worked out. Because at the time, I didn't have $5,000 to do the tuck pointing. So I did that shit. Now I have a general sense of tuck pointing. But I had an old mason bricklayer that had been laying brick for 50 years behind my back, showing me how to do it. My best friend's dad, Rick, love the guy. So absolutely, you just got to think about it, but it's also situational, just like he said, situational. If I had $5,000 to do it, absolutely, I would have done it, but I didn't. So I called out my best friend's dad, and he showed us how to do it and also helped us close up about 6 windows with cylinder blocks. And I learned a whole bunch of stuff about masonry and drinking coffee. It was pretty fun.
Nice, man.
That's for another time. Anyway. Nice,
well, I'm sure you know how to do it now from being in the construction business. And if you don't, then I'm sure you have the $5,000 now to hire somebody to do it. So we're good. We're good either way.
Either way. Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. So let's go ahead and I think we start wrapping this one up. Sure. I hope you guys gained a lot of knowledge and understand where you should spend your time and whatever task is in front of you right now, this week. Ask yourself, am I going to get a good return? Is my time best spent doing this task, or should I outsource it to somebody else? Or do I need to keep moving forward with this current task? And is it going to get me to the end goal? And do I just need to be consistent? So ask yourself those three things this week, and hopefully you'll be one step closer to get into your goal and accomplishing what you're wanting to.
Yes. Thanks, Austin, for wrapping up. And I realized I didn't tell you what's going on with my week. Last thing, I messed up one of my own job sites, and now we're doing double work. So follow us, send us emails, give us suggestions how we can get better. If you guys have any questions, reach out to Austin and I. We're readily available. I'm at contact@ejcpartners.com. And I probably shouldn't have given that out, but Austin, how can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, social media is good. Instagram, jumping on to Clubhouse. I'm not sure if you've heard of Clubhouse or been on there yet. Potentially, we'll get on there soon. Or you can reach me at apalacios@aquastonecap.com. We'll list all that information in the show notes. But yeah, looking forward to seeing you guys next week.
Yo, you made it to the end. You're one step closer to changing your mindset, discovering your true potential.
If you like what you heard, share our podcast and leave us a review. Send us a note. We'd love to hear from you.
Catch you next week.